Oh, I'm so excited about my message today. So good to be with you, Pastor Ryan and Pastor Dan, all the leadership. Thank you. As I was enjoying a week away with my wife and spending time with her, and she will be back in a few days. She is finishing writing her book, and it will be concluded. And we're looking forward to around April or May that everything will be done, and then we will be looking to print her book. And you will absolutely enjoy that. I'm not going to ruin the book by explaining what it is to you. If Terry wants to, she can. But I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about being with the men next Saturday. This Saturday coming up, and enjoying the fellowship with all you guys. Invite your friends and sons and allow yourselves to just relax with, to me, some of the greatest men in the world, men of Valley Community Church. As we always pray that every home represented in our men's group will be blessed. Their relationships and their marriages and their children will be blessed. Their siblings, for the younger generation, come. The younger generation, come and be with us. And you'll see the wisdom of the Lord, but we want your wisdom too. To help us as older men to be able to see the things of God and what God is doing, not only in us, that we've experienced it for years, but we want to see what God's doing in your younger years, and it's great. Well, I was this morning early, about 5:45 or 5:50, walking through the sanctuary, and the Lord reminded me of a letter I wrote to about 125 leaders and pastors that I had a meeting with, a conference with, during the time that I was a supervisor overseeing many hundreds of pastors. And in that process, we had what I call an intimate time with your pastor, and I was their pastor for the 7 years. And what the main focus that came out of them in the question and answer was, basically, the conversation was that they were struggling with insecurity as pastors and wanting to get some what to do to overcome that. And the finality of what they were saying to me, all the questions and conversation, was that, is it because we didn't love God enough? Is it because we weren't thinking of God enough or spending more time with the Lord? And at that point, the Holy Spirit just really fell on my heart and gave me a picture of really what God wanted them to know. And so I'm going to read to you what, after the all-day meeting, we were at a hotel. They went and spent the night, and I blessed them with a district of to go out to dinner with their spouses or friends. And then the next morning we came, and I wrote a letter to them and handed it out in the morning. And I'm going to give you most of the letter here. The problem isn't that you don't love God enough, because I know you do. I believe the problem many of us have is that we really don't understand how much God loves you and me. This is so important. When you understand how much God loves you, you can't help but love God. It's the greatest love story in history. I know in your younger years, many of you were raised in Christian homes, and You were told many times that God loves you. And you were told that all your life. But when you finally know and feel how much God unconditionally loves you, it then changes you to experience and to walk in love. But when you finally know and feel how much God unconditionally loves you, then you know that God loves you when you feel it. You know that God loves you when you don't feel it. I'm pausing there. That's where some of us are in here today or watching online. God loves you when you do the right thing. And God loves you when you don't do the right thing. You must know His love is not based on who you are, but it's based on who He is. It's not based on what you do, but it's based on what Christ did for you on the cross. And on that cross, with His arms outstretched, nailed to the cross, with blood flowing down on the cross, Jesus is saying, I love you this much. I would rather die being humiliated, taking your shame, than to live without you. That's what Jesus was saying on the cross in its obedience. I would rather die, take your shame, than to live without you. You can't make God stop loving you. Oh, you can try, but you will fail with that. The whole reason is this. Again, your love is not based on any condition, but it's based on God's character. So when you get that, it will set you free. The Holy Spirit asked me to read a part of the letter that I wrote them that they received that morning at breakfast. It's because no matter where you're at, we need to understand God's plan. And understanding God's plan, the basis of that plan, why that plan exists. It's just not that God thought it was a good idea. We're talking about salvation today. It's about a God whose character is pure and holy. That a love that is unconditional. That you can never question that God loves you, or that even that God wants you to understand how intimate that love is for you as an individual and collective as a church. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see that behind me. Because when you believe and you trust in Jesus, you have been saved from the eternal penalty of sin. Now, as all of us learn and grow in our walk with God, in our salvation, we grow in Christ. We know that our spirit is saved and our soul is being saved from the power of sin. We will explain that the next few weeks and keep going back to that. But Ephesians 1 and Luke 15 are the passages we're going to study today, but I want to just continue with this and read you some more scripture. Again, we're in the middle of the series called The Plan of God. And so my question and my message today is salvation real? Is salvation a reality? See, a reality is more than just a thought or something that happened. It's something that continues. It is so large and it's intense and it's based out of the love of God. And I firmly believe, and I'm going to state this to you, and many of you are going to say, well, Pastor, you don't have to say that because I believe it too, but I want to state this. I believe our salvation is totally real. All that it includes. And we are saved by grace. The thread of this series is grace. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word saved is a Greek word, sozo, and it means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save a suffering one from perishing, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to deliver from the penalties of the judgment, and to make one whole, spirit, soul, and body. That's what sozo means. So I'm going to have a couple points today, not three, but a couple. But let me explain the first point, and I'm going to spend a lot of time on the first point, because I think that's where these pastors and leaders were struggling in. Here's my first point. Salvation is eternal, past, present, and future. Salvation is eternal, eternal past, eternal present, and eternal future. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages or the pay of sin is death, but the gift, that's grace, which is free of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise he has promised us, eternal life, past, present, future. 1 John 5:13 is one of my favorite. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not that you may hope. That you may know. That you may know that you have eternal life. You have eternal life. Now, so since God is an eternal God, salvation is eternal. So this is my thought, and this is what produced this message today. When we think of eternal, usually we only think of the future. But we must understand, eternal is that God always existed, past, that God does exist, present, and that God will always exist, future. Matter of fact, God even existed before time. Remember this in the Bible? Moses asked him, what is your name? For the first time, Jehovah stated, I am that I am. Now, I want to explain that just for a moment. In that statement, I am that I am, he's saying, I am eternal. I am that I am. He said, you go to and tell Pharaoh that I am. Here's what God is really saying to Pharaoh. Before you were here, I was here. Dude, I added that. I am here now, and I will be when you're gone. I am that I am an eternal God. So let me show you a phrase that probably is familiar to you, and it's only found in the book of Revelation. It's found five times. Revelation 1:4, John is writing this, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. So John gets this when he encounters God, and that is why he recorded verse 8 of Revelation 1, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." We serve a loving, eternal God. Anybody still questioning the love of God? Anybody still questioning what is that love? Let's go on and let's begin to turn those physical, emotional thoughts and to produce a spiritual truth that will change. And that letter I wrote to these pastors, I still get comments from these men and women who were at that meeting, how it changed them, how their ministry changed. Some of them, worked a regular job and marketplace and then pastored. It changed their business. It changed everything about them because they began to understand this amazing creative creator God absolutely unconditionally loves them. And because of that, then they began, because they knew that, they began to walk in a love that was very intense and began to be unconditional. Can you imagine a pastor loving their congregation unconditionally? Because you know and I know that there are pastors and leaders that don't do that. But because I understand the unconditional love of God that I'm going to explain to you in a greater realm here, is that I love you unconditionally. You can't do a thing that will stop me from loving you and ministering to you and doing what God asked me to do for you as your pastor. Now, sometimes through the years, 46 years, maybe at a moment I didn't like somebody. All right, come on, look at me. I didn't like somebody, just like at times in your business or your job, you don't like somebody. But it never changes of my love for anybody. This is so important in understanding grace. See, I think John thought that statement or proclamation can preach. And that's why he wrote it down. And that's why he preached it. And that's why I am today. That same phrase is repeated in the book of Revelation, and it's a recording from the angels, a recording from the 24 elders, and the four living creatures. Let me read it to you. Revelation 4:8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They knew that. Revelation 11:17 says, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." Revelation 16:5, "And I heard the angel of the water saying, 'You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things.'" Again, Hebrews 13:8, it says it this way, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will always love you." And he's the author of eternal salvation, past, present, future. So the conclusion, there is a past, there is a present, and there is a future tense of my salvation. So keep following this. I'm going to build on this. You're going to see it You're going to understand this. So the past was who was, the present is who is, and the future is who is to come. So let's address this in salvation. In your salvation, eternal past, you have been saved. Your spirit has been born again, brand new. Present, you are being saved. Your soul, mind, will, and emotion. And the future, you will be saved. So you have been saved. We're talking about grace, God's heart, God's choice. You are being saved. Mind, will, and emotions. You will be saved. Let's go on. Speaking of sickness too. Speaking of the stripes upon Jesus' back. You have been saved from the penalty of sin, being born again, your spirit. The present, you are being saved as you learn and grow in Christ, as your soul is being converted from the power of sin, your soul, mind, will, and emotions. You are being saved, you're growing. That's why OSL, which is a discipleship course, is so important that we involve ourselves in. Your future, you will be saved from the presence of sin. So here's an analogy of that. I'm still talking about the same thing. Now, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to go theologically deep, but here's the statement. You have been saved in your spirit, born again. You are being saved, converted in your soul. Your life, your thinking, your emotions change. And your body will be saved one day with a new body. One day all of us will have a new body. And most of us will say, amen. You can say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Me, with that new body. Now, with all of this, I don't want to zero in on the present or the future, but I want to zero in on the past, because if we understand the past of our salvation, eternal salvation, then what's going to happen is we will begin to see our present and our future totally different. If you don't understand, have been, past, then you're going to have an incorrect view of our being and that you will be, present, future. Let me say it in layman's terms. If you don't understand the love of God, that his choice to love you, for you to receive your salvation because of his love, and everything that is of that is out of his love and a gift of grace. If you don't understand that, then you will think, act contrary to the truth of what salvation is in your present and your future. You will make decisions based upon your own thoughts and hurts, or like these pastors and leaders that I read that letter to you, who were insecure because they were thinking they weren't good enough. They were thinking that, you know, they were at times judging what was going on in my ministry and the things that were going on in my ministry, and they were judging what was not happening in their ministry based on maybe I loved God more and I was more spiritual than them. Because if you know me, you want to judge, there's a lot more people more spiritual than me. Amen. I'm just being real with you. And I want you to recognize is that in your life, there have been so many decisions, so many experiences, trials, tribulations, and even joys, that from those, we have made decisions based upon a wrong thought because we didn't understand past salvation, the heart of God, the love of God, the grace of God, where your salvation came from. So let's build on that. So let's go a little bit further. If you do understand past tense salvation, then you will have peace in the present and faith for the future. I'll say that again. So our wonderful fireman went by. If you do understand past tense salvation, you will have peace in the present and faith for your future. But if you don't understand past salvation, you will have pressure in the present and fear the future. Godly, wonderful men and women of God feel pressure of the day and fear for their future. Here's something that you need to understand. I haven't perfected it yet because I do have that humanness in me, my soul. I don't live with much pressure at all. And when I do, I know that God's grace is sufficient enough because of who He is. I don't fear for my future. My days are numbered, but God told me, as Pastor Dan said, that I live long life. I'm not Hebrews 11, that my life will be shortened, because they didn't understand past salvation. So let's just pick this up a little bit now. Here are some words we see in Scripture regarding past salvation. Whoever will call on the Lord will be saved, justified, sanctified. See, I know we're being sanctified, our soul, accepted in the Beloved, redeemed. This is truth of past salvation. Forgiven. It is finished. The finished work of Christ in our lives. God's work has been concluded in our lives. The plan of God has been concluded for you and me, and it's just in our part of grabbing a hold of it, believing it, and walking in it. This is in the Bible. If you have believed, you have been saved. Sozo, remember that word? So if you understand this, it will change your life. If you don't understand or catch the truth of past salvation, you'll always try to achieve something. And that's where these leaders and these pastors were in. Godly men and women, many of them teach greater than I could ever dream to teach. So skilled and so wonderful. But the bottom line is they still didn't get that intimacy of that past salvation because it came from the love of God and God's grace. That God chose you and me. And we just believed it. Remember this, salvation is not a goal to be achieved. It is a gift to be received. Salvation is not a goal to be achieved. Some of you are going through some hard times. But your salvation, God's plan for you, is a gift to be received. Even though you're going through what you're going through, God's plan past, present, future will take you through that situation in your life. You need to receive it by believing it. And of course, as we've talked every single Sunday in this series, is this is not saying just hang back. God's going to do whatever he wants to do. Yeah, he is. But the reality is that we have something to do with it. When you believe, then you have faith to do good works. Remember the talking about good works? Matter of fact, we're going to cover that in a deeper way in a few weeks. But I want you to just grab a hold of this, take a deep breath, and what I'm simply telling you, if you understand and catch the reality of past salvation, it takes care of the present and future in your life. Presently, you're right here, right now. What's going on in your life is going on right now. But God's got it covered, taking you to your future. Receive it. In Ephesians 1, look for past tense in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Does it say will bless or has? Has, past tense. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Is that some or every? When did that happen? Past tense. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, just as he chose us. Past tense. Is he going to choose you or has already chosen you? Already has. Verse 4 continues, chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I touched on that a couple weeks ago. Now that's past tense. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's that word. So the question then is what I'm trying to bring here is, how in the world will you be holy and without blame without the blood of Jesus Christ? The answer is you can't. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter good works, whatever that people say, well, he was a good person. That's not getting you to heaven. And that's not getting you into God's plan. What's getting you into God's plan is understanding that God just loves you, he chose you, and he planned for you before the foundation of the world, and all you got to do is choose it and walk in it. Watch this. Having predestined, that word that confuses so many religions. I believe in the predestination of God by the foreknowledge of God. He already knew. Also that God predetermined a destiny for me and you. The other day I was talking to someone at breakfast and they made a statement like, well, I know you're a pastor and you have this unique anointing to be able to know that. I started laughing. I said, really? Oh, man. And I wanted to go further and say, yeah, I have a unique knowing that you're going to pay for breakfast, you know, or something. But no, I... if I have that power, you know, I might as well use it, right? For my own good. But, you know, the reality is no. God's plan for me and you is already predestined. I just have the privilege of teaching the Word of God. And I never forget that's a privilege and an honor. It's not look at me. And you have the privilege and honor to do what you do. And I respect you like you should respect me. Yeah, Scripture talks about double honor regarding those who are teaching the Word of God. But you got to understand that God also promised you double portion. And so we have to grab a hold of this and stop putting ourselves in categories like these pastors were and measuring themselves up with other pastors or other leaders that maybe look like they're more successful, and just realize your success comes from knowing your salvation, knowing who God is, a God of love, that gave you a gift of salvation through grace, and that you don't work for it or earn it, you just receive it. Amen. And then you walk in the gifting that God's given you. I honor you today for what God's done through you in the marketplace, what God's done through you in your leadership at the church. Why is that? Not because I've seen it or I've experienced a lot of it with you, but it's because I know God's plan. And God does not do anything wrong or bad. What he's doing in you is a good thing. And we need to recognize that. Are you getting this? Are you is this taking you out of this pressure of proving yourself? Like the world wants you to. I won't go there. So God has predetermined a good destiny for everyone who will choose to receive it. So don't get hung up on the word predestined, but notice it's past tense. Are you seeing that? Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons, daughters, by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Wow. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So the question is, are you going to be accepted one day, or have you been accepted? You have been accepted. Please know, I'm not doing away with the present tense or the future tense. But I want you to live the present and the future the correct way because you understand the past, what God has done, what God has done in your life. How many of you have made mistakes in your life? How many of you made bad decisions in your life? How many of you said wrong things? It'd be an ugly picture if I raised my next leg. So we're not doing away with growing in Christ. We're not doing away with discipleship. But because a lot of people don't understand past salvation, they're afraid of discipleship. Because they're afraid that discipleship will prove that there's some things in their life that needs to change. That's why you have, and I'm, okay, as a leader of leaders and supervisor, that's why you have a lot of people in congregations that don't read the word, that don't want to go to discipleship because they're living under pressure of proving themselves every day. And I want to release you from that. Be released from that. You know, in discipleship, and Pastor, why are you getting on that? Because I really believe that what God is doing in the near future is there's going to be a transformation, not only in our lives, in our families, our businesses, our jobs, our country, the world. There's a transformation happening right now. There's a move of the Holy Spirit, that beginning move of the latter days, that God is doing some amazing, miraculous things that sometimes we don't understand, but it's happening, and I don't want you to miss it. because I don't want you to live in the pressure of the sin of the world. I don't want you to live in the pressure of a future, of what's going to happen. Oh, if we do this, we're going to fall apart. No, we're not. God's got a plan for you, and it's good. Amen. There was a covenant made with God in the United States of America. And the only ones going to break that covenant is America, not God. I'm in America. I'm not going to break my covenant with God. I'm going to walk in the truth. And so we have to get to that place of rising up. Everybody's telling you what you need to be, what you need to think, how you need to act, all the different things. Mm-mm. It's right here, Scripture. This is who I am. Why? Because that's who He is. Amen. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was, who is, and is to come. That's where my trust is, where my faith is. So again, I'm simply saying understanding the past tense will change your life when you understand this, when you received your salvation, when you trusted and believed in Christ. Verse 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Question, does this say we obtain one day or we have an inheritance? We already have. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. That we who first trusted, past tense, in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, past tense, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, past tense, you were sealed, past tense, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Church, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is stated in the South, and I'm going to repeat this. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. If that truth doesn't light your fire, then your wood's wet. Watch this, verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased, past tense, possession to the praise of His glory? Purchased possession. Scripture says you were bought with a price. You are not your own. You are owned by God. Now, how could God ever lose something that He owns? Amen. I'm not talking about once saved, always saved. But I'm talking about that what He has purposed in you, how could God not see it through unless we don't receive it or understand it? Right? Does that make sense? And so the first question that many of us, especially us men, will say, what do we do? Don't do a thing until you get it. And then once you get it, then what you're going to do is going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because you're not doing it out of pressure to prove yourself. You're doing it because you know who you are, because you know who He is. The God, the lover of you. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that planned our lives and will see it through. 1 Corinthians 6:11, real quick. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I can't stand here unless I knew it's because of Jesus. Jesus washed me and sanctified me and justified me and sealed me by the Holy Spirit, past tense. So now here's to answer a little bit of our questions that we always ask. Then what do I do now? What do I do now that I understand past tense salvation? Luke 15, verse 4 through 10. What man of you have 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So what are we doing? What do we do? We know our salvation. Share it with others. It says when you lose something and you find it, you rejoice. It goes on to talk about the prodigal son in the chapter. It is telling us God is rejoicing over you accepting his son. Now, when you were born on this earth, you were looking for favor with God. We rejoice when we find something that was lost. So what's the first thing you do after you find something you lost? The first thing you do is you stop looking for it. I've been doing this 46 years. I lost half of you. So let's go over it again, and then I'll conclude. We were born looking for favor with God. We rejoice in Scripture, we just read, when we find something that was lost. So what's the first thing you do after you find something you lost? The first thing you do is you stop looking for it. So if you don't find it, you keep looking, correct? Like your keys. Anybody lost their keys? But you find them, or your spouse finds them. Do you keep looking for your keys? Why? Because you found it. So here's my question. Do you know why some believers don't rejoice during a time of worship? Because they're still looking for the favor with God. I'm telling you, if you've received the gift of grace of salvation, you found favor with God. Yeah. You found it. Stop trying to find that because it's already there. If you believe. Let's all stand, please. The Bible uses the word trusted. I found out years ago I need to stop living for me. And let God be in charge. Being saved is you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when you do, you're saved at that moment. God already chose you. But you accepted it. the gift of God, grace of God, your salvation. If you're here today and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's your day. You're watching online. I'm looking at you, looking through your screen. You're listening on a podcast. I want you to know Jesus Christ, salvation is a reality. I've lived it. I've experienced it. I've seen it in thousands. And I want you to know that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. That past salvation becomes real. It's a reality. And now all that stress and pressure that you live with will not leave totally, watch this, because you're learning how to trust God. And when things happen, your first thought is, what do I need to do? Go back to your past salvation, what God has said, and then you will be able to go through your tribulation with obedience to the Holy Spirit, and your future has already been planned. You know, there are many people who have lived their whole life, and now you see their epitaph, and it says, wonderful grandma, wonderful papa, grandpa, but they never attained God's plan because they never received God's plan. God loves you. You know why I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. In Jesus' name, I proclaim such a release as Pastor Dan was proclaiming, as the words of the songs that were sung during worship, that the love of God just will explode in us because now we choose to believe and trust and know the loving God. That past tense has saved us. Past tense has predestined our future. For all those that receive the Lord today in Jesus' name, find a church. If you're watching online, we could just close our eyes today here in the sanctuary, up in the balcony. If you're here today, you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, very quickly just raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Anyone here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I see some hands raised, but I'm not sure if you're telling me that. We're going to pray. In Jesus' name, we proclaim that the blood of Jesus has cleansed our sin. We believe in our heart, we confess in our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of our life. Now we begin a new journey. If you are online, tell somebody what you did. Email us, call us. Come be with us. We want to help you and disciple you to attain everything God has already planned for you. And we give you praise, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, Bible studies, youth ministry, children's ministry, adults in the sanctuary, 6 o'clock p.m. Please come join us and be a part of the family on Sunday evening. God bless you. Have a great day. I'm going to praise. I'm going to praise.
I praise the mountain moving.